All right. Welcome, members and guests, to the April 15th program of the City Club of Eugene, candidate forum for the Eugene City Council, Ward 1. I'm James Baldock, City Club President. Our sponsors today are Network Charter School, offering a free, standards-based education in a hands-on environment that provides students in grades 7 to 12 with a program that incorporates both academic excellence and practical skills. KRVM, a listener-supported public radio station that enriches the quality of life and enhances the variety of music in our community. And the Wayne Morse Center for Law and Politics, dedicated to education and public discussion of current issues in law and politics. Special thanks go to KPFF Consulting Engineers for supplying our office space, and to KLCC Radio for airing these programs at 6:30 on Monday nights and for archiving the podcast on their website. We'd also like to thank Community Television of Lane County for televising recent City Club programs Monday through Saturday at noon and Sunday at 9 p.m. We host nearly 50 original nonpartisan issue programs every year, and today is our 26th program in our 2015-2016 programming year. If you believe with us that civic engagement is the lifeblood of democracy, please join us. We welcome anyone who has a stake in community life. And now to the program. This is the fourth of eight scheduled forums intended to provide Lane County voters with the opportunity to learn more about the candidates running for several contested races in the May 17th primary election. The events are presented by the City Club of Eugene, League of Women Voters of Lane County, League of United Latin American Citizens of Lane County, Eugene Springfield National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, Wayne Morse Family Farm, AARP Oregon, Springfield City Club, Wildish Community Theater, and several neighborhood associations, including Jefferson Westside Neighbors and Southeast Neighbors. Today's moderator is Angela Kellner. Angela has been involved with KLCC since 1991. She is a reporter and the host of All Things Considered.
Thank you for having me here today. It's an honor. I'll start with some rules and regulations before we get started with today's debate. The League of Women Voters of Lane County do not support or oppose any political party or candidate. The League works to promote political responsibility through informed and active participation in government and to act on selected governmental issues. The rules for today's forum are as follows. The debate will begin with an opening statement from each candidate for a maximum of 1 minute, and we have timekeepers over here to help. Following the opening statement in the first session, there will be questions from myself, one question from the moderator, and that question will be followed by those that were submitted by the sponsors of the debate. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to each question. There will be no scheduled rebuttals, but if clarifications are needed, I can request them or ask a follow-up. The second portion of the forum will consist of questions from the audience, which will be vetted by the League of Women Voters before they are asked. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to that question. There will be no rebuttal either. There are 3x5 cards available around the room. You can write your question on the card. Please try to write legibly. Hold them up in the air. A volunteer will be by to pick them up. If you need a card, raise your hand and someone will come by to give you one. Please note there will be no break for question writing, so do pay attention to what the candidates are already talking about, what questions have been asked. We will give closing statements at the end, 1 minute each. Please hold your applause for all of the candidates during the forum so that we can address as many questions as possible. You can clap for all of them at the beginning and the end. And candidates are in the order that they will be being asked the questions, so I will introduce them. These are the candidates for Eugene City Council, Ward 1, which covers downtown Eugene and a sort of south central portion goes up to Chambers, over to 28th and Willamette. So, and City View as well, yeah, out past Chambers. Thank you. So first we have Joshua Scove. Then we have Kelly Boyd, Chad Anderson, Emily Semple, and Chris Wigg. Okay, you may clap. So the first question is from me. Opening statements, yes. First we'll have opening statements starting with Josh.
Joshua Scove, City Club member. Thank you to the sponsors and organizers and everyone listening on the radio and, of course, to the candidates. It's a privilege to be in this full and really serious field. My wife Kathy and I have lived in Ward 1 for the last 15 years. We have been renters and homeowners. We have been car, bicycle, and bus commuters. I've been a small business owner and a union member. And we have two kids in public schools. I feel really grounded in the experiences of individuals and families here in the ward. But in addition to those experiences, I have a lot of experience. I've been very involved in a wide range of civic volunteering over the last 12 years, and I look forward to describing a number of the details of that, including the policy positions that the campaign is releasing on housing affordability, transportation, climate change, and jobs in the economy. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Kelly Boyd.
Yes, thank you for being here today. I hope you enjoyed your lunch. I've enjoyed this process of getting to know the candidates, and I hope it's a friendship that'll last beyond the elections. But I have to tell you, my wife and I moved to Eugene to be able to start a church, a campus ministry, and a medical clinic. I'm the minister. She's the doctor. She works at the new Kaiser Permanente office, one of three doctors to start that clinic just recently. But in running for city council, there's basically three things I have told most people. One is, let's change homelessness, and we can do it. Secondly, let's grow our tax base. And thirdly, and finally, we need to make sure we have a responsible city budget. It is time to make some changes with the homelessness. Through the go-to truck, the 1937 Chevy pickup truck, people put stuff in, homeless take stuff out. I've had so many conversations with people. The reason many live on the streets is a very diverse reasons, many issues. But some of them can be solved immediately. Some of them take a little bit more effort. And when it comes to growing our tax base, too many Oregon Ducks and graduates of Lane Community College leave here because they don't have a career-type job to find. We can change these things. Let's do it.
Thank you. Chad Anderson.
How's it going, guys? I'm Chad Anderson. I also live in Ward 1, obviously, as everybody else does. I kind of wish I wouldn't eat lunch because it looked pretty good. I am running kind of on three basic things. My main core policy thing is a PenningtonHomelessness.com. It's one penny gas tax, and it's a plan that will house every homeless person in town. You can check out the website and the details. I think it's a good idea. Hopefully you guys would agree. The other thing I'd like to do is bring back ride sharing, the Uber and Lyft. There's a lot of college kids in town. They utilize that service a lot. And since it's disappeared, you have seen a rise in drunk driving and accidents and arrests and stuff like that. Mothers Against Drunk Driving has a huge amount of bank of information on that. We need to bring it back. And the other thing is I want to develop a work program to reduce our recidivism rate. Recidivism is the propensity to go back to jail once you've been in jail. We're spending $70,000 per inmate, according to Lane County Jail, per year, and we have an 85% rate of going back to jail. We can drop that to 10%. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Semple.
George Brown has endorsed me wholeheartedly and without reservation. I moved to Oregon to study forest ecology and stayed for the people. I have lived in downtown Eugene for 30 years, starting my business in 2001. My children grew up here, attending 4J schools. The people of Eugene are not heard. We need a new form of government with a strong council. We must protect our established neighborhoods, starting with South Willamette. By ending MUPTI, we will stop its privatization of public funds. With open communication of functional government, respect for our community, we can have sustainable growth, providing affordable housing, a living wage, and equity for all our residents.
Thank you. Chris Wigg.
Good afternoon. Much better. Thank you, League of Women Voters. Thank you, City Club. Thank you to all of the sponsors. My name's Chris Wigg. I serve as chair of the Democratic Party of Lane County. I work as a drug and alcohol counselor in the Lane County Drug Court. And I'm running for city council in Ward 1 to build a city that works, both today and tomorrow. The largest issue in Eugene right now is our housing crisis. There are people who are unhoused, underhoused, and many more citizens who are rent burdened, that they don't have enough money to pay the bills, pay their rent, and put food on the table. And renters in Eugene can be thrown out of their homes with a no-cause eviction with 30 days notice under the state law. Our proposal, 90-day notice for no-cause evictions, and that I am the only candidate on this stage who has the experience to build the coalition to get that done. There's a lot of talk about protecting our neighborhoods. However, a lot of people do not have access to those neighborhoods. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, for the moderator question, we'll go in order. You'll each have 1 minute to respond. With the cost of building a new city hall coming in higher than expected, as city councilor, what would you want to happen regarding seismic upgrades and the future of the building if you were in office currently in Ward 1? Not next year, but now. Let's start with Joshua Scove. Thank you.
All right, Joshua Scove. I'm shocked, of course, to hear that question. I guess that's been in the news quite a bit. Just a couple of things. I want to distinguish in our discussion of City Hall between process and outcomes. First of all, on process, clearly we needed to do a better job staying in touch with that project as it was going along, and there shouldn't have been surprises. So I like Lucy Venice's idea, candidate for mayor. I like her idea of having something like a dashboard that reports to the community on these big projects and big issues as we're going. But on outcomes, let's be clear about the seismic upgrades in particular. There's been talk about whether this was important or necessary. It's desperately necessary. There's a bigger chance of a magnitude 9 Cascadia earthquake over the next half century than there is that your house would burn down and you wouldn't go without fire insurance. And we need to talk not just about being prepared, but also recovering. We need to do what's necessary so our economy could recover after a major earthquake. So seismic upgrades are absolutely necessary.
Thank you. Kelly Boyd?
Are you kidding me? $18 million, $25 million, and it hasn't even been built yet. Does anybody think it's going to stay at 25? No, sir. I think you're right. 32 maybe? I don't know. Where will it stop? Somebody has to say, let's stop. Let's reevaluate, let's understand, let's get some experts in here to get an opinion about what we should do, because this is a bit out of hand, don't you think? That $7 million increase, what an opportunity to change homelessness. We could have a four-step camp to get people into their own places and a new job. Probably 25% of the homeless population could be changed just with that $7 million right there. Instead, what are we going to do with it? Oh, do we need seismic protection? Absolutely. Do we have to pay $7 million for it? To me, there's probably a better way. Let's find it. There's always a better way. Let's just find it together.
Thank you. Chad Anderson.
So the city hall doesn't exist right now, so I think we do need to build a city hall to start off. So let's start with that. As far as seismic upgrades, I think maybe they're kind of missing the point. We should maybe use that money instead to make sure that people, if we do have this earthquake that's supposedly coming, have access to water. I mean, clean water is the number one thing, and your entire infrastructure is destroyed instantly. So, like, we can do things like even, like, the life straws that they use in third world countries and have them in areas strategically around town that people know about. So then that way people don't die because they can't get any clean water, dysentery, stuff like that. So maybe we should be placing those resources in another thing. Another unique perspective I have is I'm a licensed and bonded and insured contractor. I feel like maybe if they had that view of a blue-collar worker on the city council, they would know that they're being taken to the pasture. I mean, they just don't necessarily know how to build things because they've never done it, where that's what I do. So I would say disaster preparedness, yes. This plan, not so good. Let's rework it so that way we can prepare for the essential resources that someone needs at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Semple.
I went to the city council work session on Monday and I learned a lot. This city hall has gotten out of control. I do not understand why we took down the old city hall before we knew what we were going to do. The seismic upgrade will cost another $1 million. The argument is that this is a 100-year building and we don't want to build it again. When that earthquake comes, we will be building so many things again that this won't really matter. We have protected fire stations where council could meet. Speaking of meetings in a 100-year building, I would expect offices for councilors. I want to meet with my constituents. I want to have a place where they can come and find me regularly so I can hear them. I need my own office.
Thank you. And finally, Chris Wigg.
So, I do not support the seismic upgrades on the new City Hall project. I think it sends the absolute wrong message when our City Hall, where our council and our city manager meet, have a seismic standing that exceeds that which our school children are in every single day. That is not consistent with our values. And let's be clear, I'm not fighting for a corner office. I'm fighting for the future of the city. And that means if somebody wants to meet me at a coffee shop, at the Democratic Party office, at anywhere where there's two chairs and a table, that's how we get it done in Eugene.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to questions from the sponsors, and we'll be rotating through. So Kelly Boyd will answer this one. Do you support or oppose the current South Willamette Special Area rezoning as it is currently proposed? What actions, if any, should be taken before this or any future proposal is considered for adoption? Kelly?
I'd like to speak on this in a larger conceptual point of view. And that is, whether it be South Willamette, the Riverfront project, we have an interesting challenge before us, a fork in the road, if you will, for Eugene. And that is that our future is beckoning us. It's calling, and I don't think there's anything we can do to stop it, because when you look at the population increase the next 14 years to 2030, there should be an increase of 30 to 35,000 people, without question. You can pull up the drawbridge and dig a moat around, but they're still coming. What are we going to do? We should not take this as ostriches putting our heads in the sand and say, you know what, I don't want to hear it. Eugene needs to say the exact same best for the 50 years it has. It's time that we have the idea of what should the future look like for Eugene, for all of Eugene. Where should that go? We have all these people moving here. We have so many graduates finishing U of O and Lane. How can we make sure that they have employment here to keep many of them here and build our tax base? There are answers to these questions. There's answers to the future. Let's just find it together.
Thank you. Chad Anderson?
So the residents of the area seem extremely unhappy about the situation, so you would have to say, no, it's a bad idea. Part of the problem, I think, is kind of the topography of the area is like really hilly and tough to build on. I hate working on houses in the South Hills. I'm sorry, guys. Those things are monsters. They have slide slopes. They are tough to work on. It takes all my skilled workers to work on those houses. Whereas out West 11th is a much more flat, plain area, which is preferable to be building things. It's less expensive because you don't have to have your highly trained workers doing that. So from like a construction point of view, I think it was a mistake because no one was really like thinking, hey, there's a 30-foot hill that we're going to try to build a building on here, and it's got topsoil, but if we take the trees down, then the topsoil is going to slide away, so now we need to bury beams in it, and it just kind of cascades out of control. So I'm not necessarily sure that was the best area. We should plan for growth, but maybe in a better area that's easier to build on. Thank you.
Emily Semple.
I am against the South Willamette Special Area Zone as it stands. The people are not being listened to. This is an outrageous plan that will take away solar access, put tall buildings next to already affordable homes that are well-loved. Envision Eugene hasn't been followed, even though it's not formally adopted yet. It's a policy that seems to have lapsed. I think we should get back to it. South Willamette's special. It's being used as a template for the rest of the city. I am grateful that the residents of South Willamette have the energy and willingness to call a stop. We need a refinement plan with resident-led decisions for rezoning and infill. We must respect the needs of our residents.
Thank you. Chris Wigg.
While I do not support the South Willamette Special Area Zone as it was first proposed, I wholeheartedly support the idea behind it, which is that we need to increase density and allow more people to live in our core neighborhoods. I have very, very serious equity and environmental concerns about pushing poor people to the margins of our community. And let's cut to the chase. Opposition to the South Willamette Special Area Zone is primarily based on an idea that if renters come, that will decrease property values. The only difference between renters and homeowners is that renters don't have enough money to buy a house. So I do support increasing density in core neighborhoods. It's what we have to do. We have a choice of two things. We can go out, expand the urban growth boundary, destroy forests and farms, or we can go up. I choose up.
Thank you. Josh Wiskov.
Again, we need to distinguish between a plan that's been proposed and process. There are many flaws with the plan itself, without question. But we also need citizens to be deeply involved in this process as we go forward. And the only way we're going to do this sort of planning, not just on South Willamette, but throughout the city, to accommodate the people you've heard are predicted to move here, over 30,000 people in the next two decades, will be to have citizens deeply involved. There was another piece of public engagement that I believe was missing, and I think is related to the lack of trust that people feel in government. And that is that we needed our city councilors to play a stronger role in the process early on, and not to come in and take sides and encourage the kind of trench warfare and disagreement that we've seen, but instead to say, we need you to be involved, everyone, and we need to remind you of the values of the community, the values that are expressed nicely in Envision Eugene: housing affordability, dealing with climate change, protecting existing neighborhoods, but also accommodating that population growth over time. I believe we can do that.
Thank you. This one will start with Chad Anderson. If elected, you represent Ward 1 while sitting on a city council that acts on behalf of the entire community. Give an example of what you would hope to accomplish for Ward 1 and what would be your citywide commitment at the same time.
That's a good question. That comes down to my core policy, the Pennington homelessness. Ward 1 is by far the hardest hit neighborhood by the homelessness because basically we make up the majority of renters in lower income areas, it seems like, and we are more tolerant, so they get chased into our area of town. And so we see it on a regular basis, besides the fact that we have one of the most walkable neighborhoods. So as I'm walking downtown, I may see 40, 50, 60 homeless people on the way home. I think the number one thing, and this is for the city and for Ward 1, is my plan, a PenningtonHomelessness.com. It'll house everybody, temporary camps, and it's a jobs program that provides city-built affordable housing that will pay for itself. I really want you guys to check it out. I can't explain it all in my one-minute time bits, unfortunately. But check it out. It's a good plan. At least I think so. Thank you.
Emily Semple.
I love Ward 1. I'm so happy to live there, and I want to protect it. We do need more affordable housing so that all income levels can live downtown near their jobs without having to increase carbon emissions by living far away. I want to protect our neighborhoods and be careful with our infill. I believe there is room for infill with height near commercial areas where they won't affect people who are living there. As far as the city in general, I believe one of our largest problems is that our disenfranchised people are not heard. It's important for us to reach out to everyone, and I will work for that.
Thank you. Chris Wigg.
So, my top priority for the city of Eugene over the next 4 years, if I am elected, in fact, within the first 6 months that I am elected, is to pass a mandatory 90-day notice for no-cause evictions, 90-day notice for rent increases, and 90-day notice for someone who is on a year-to-year lease. If their lease is not going to be renewed, they need to have 90 days notice so that folks can have the time to save up that first month's rent, they can save up enough money for a security deposit, And for the landlords in the room, they can clean up their old apartment so that you will be inheriting a good property and they can get their security deposit back. As far as the residents of Ward 1, I am committed to running an open and transparent office where we have constituent coffees, town halls, where we answer our emails, answer our phone calls, return people's calls, and actually represent the people on the city council instead of just our friends. Thank you.
Thank you. Joshua Scove.
I like some pieces of what's been said. I really want to focus on housing and housing affordability because I think that's not just a citywide issue. You know, we have several thousand people in Lane County who are homeless, but we have as many as 20,000 households in the city of Eugene who are housing cost burdened. And I think addressing housing and housing affordability is both something that's essential for Ward 1 and maintaining the quality of life there, but also a citywide responsibility. I would direct people to the policy statement I've created on this at joshuascove.com/housing, but I want to call out just a few things. First of all, we need a commitment to downtown and promoting downtown housing, and we need councilors who are willing to have policies in place that will help make those things happen. Those policies don't always seem great to us, but downtown housing and increasing downtown housing means that we're taking pressure off neighborhoods and we're increasing the supply of housing, which will affect working families all over the city.
Thank you. Kelly Boyd.
Ward 1 and downtown are joined at the hip. What happens to one happens to the other. So we need to realize that there should be some changes for our downtown. There should be a large conceptual view of where we want that to go. If you don't know, and perhaps you do, many of those that live outside of downtown in the suburbs do not want to come downtown. That probably is not bursting too many bubbles this afternoon, but it is true. How can we build a downtown that everybody in Eugene wants to embrace? That the families that live a ways away will want to bring their children downtown? How do we make this a right place for everybody? Here's a one example I've got to tell you. In the go-to truck, a gentleman came up not too long ago, was picking some things out of the back of the truck, and I was speaking with him. His name's Earl, 71 years old. He was homeless, and I asked him about his situation. He didn't look like someone who had been homeless for a long time, and he said, well, I was kicked out of my apartment, couldn't pay the rent, I'm on a fixed income, and I can't get back into a cheaper apartment because I can't pay first month's, last month's, and security deposit. Imagine that $7 million that's going to these upgrades for City Hall, what that could change, how many people homeless could get off the streets immediately if we had something like that to get them back into a place.
Thank you.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians. In Eugene, 89.7 FM KLCC, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KMPQ Roseburg, KLFO Florence, KLBR Bend, on the web at klcc.org, on Facebook and Twitter, and we have an app for your smartphone or tablet.
You're listening to KLCC NPR for Oregonians. We're at the City Club of Eugene, and we're entering the second half of our candidate forum for Eugene City Council Ward 1. Today's forum is sponsored by the City Club of Eugene and the League of Women Voters. I'm your moderator, Angela Kellner. The candidates here today are Joshua Scove, Kelly Boyd, Chad Anderson, Emily Semple, and Chris Wigg. We're now going to move on to audience questions, and you'll have 1 minute to respond. And we will rotate these as well. So this first one, we'll start with Emily Semple. Emily, what efforts has your campaign put forth to reach out to communities of color?
I know I have a lot to learn about communities of color. I've been a white girl my whole life. And I have gone to the Eugene community of color and found it fascinating, made some good contacts that I'm going to have discussions with in the next couple of weeks. I know that many of our citizens have not been heard, are not represented, in part because we don't understand each other. I think that more workshops on understanding different cultures would be very, very helpful. I guess that's it.
Thank you. Chris Wigg.
Throughout my public service as chair of your local Democratic Party, I have been committed to empowering communities of color and the members therein to be the change that they seek. My campaign has been inclusive because our core messaging, and at every one of these forums, I've had the opportunity to talk about our need to stop racial profiling. Let's say that again. We need to stop racial profiling. And sitting on the Civilian Review Board, I am the candidate on this stage who has the experience, has worked with the police department and the police auditor, and can accomplish that task. Also, about 2 years ago, Latino activist Phil Carrasco, immigration attorney Raquel Hecht, Professor Dan Tischner, Carmen Urbina, Ruben Zahler, and I, and several other folks, started an organization called Grupo Latino de Acción Directa. And that organization, Latino Community Action Group, the mission of which is to empower, register Latinos to vote, and get them involved in the political process.
Thank you. Joshua Scove?
I appreciate this question, both in the context of the race and also personally, and I'll explain that. First of all, wherever I have gone, I've often led with the importance of being inclusive, both from a policy standpoint and then also just personally in the community. And this has been reflected in the way we've conducted our campaign. We're campaigning and going door-to-door everywhere in the ward and not trying to, you know, segment just on votes, but trying to hit every part of the ward and every part of the Ward 1 community. Later in the campaign, you know, in the next few weeks, we're going to be having two Spanish language forums. Vamos a tener dos foros en español para la comunidad latina aquí en Eugene. And I think it's important for us to do that, to reach out to people who don't always feel 100% welcome. Let's be honest. I appreciate the work that's been done on racial profiling that Chris referred to, and that's something I intend to carry forward while in office.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Kelly Boyd.
As a minister of a very racially diverse congregation and doing many council appointments with those of being non-white, I've got to learn a lot of things. And I could put us through a bit of a quick workshop if you don't mind. If you just take a moment to kind of look around the room and then look at the candidates up here, what's missing? Whatever we've been doing hasn't been going the right direction. Why aren't there others here to be involved? I don't think any of us say, yeah, I like it this way. Most of us say, let's do something different. And the catalyst of change seems to always start with understanding there is a need. As we look around the room, I think we see the need. If we see the need, let's change it, let's welcome it, let's embrace, let's make everyone feel like you can be a part of this process.
Thank you. Chad Anderson?
So being a millennial, as you guys know, about half of my generation is of color, and that is slowly shifting. A big part of the reason that so many of you guys are all white is because of the age. Has to do with that. So about half of my workforce is actually minorities. And the first time I had to answer a question like this, let's be completely honest, I bombed the question. I had no idea what to say. So then I just went to my staff and I asked them what I needed to do. And what they said the biggest thing to do is when you see people acting racist, you need to point out and say, hey, you're being racist right now. Because a lot of times people don't necessarily know that they're doing that. Like the other day at a job site, we're cleaning some windows. G, I'll call him G because his name is impossible to say, was up on a ladder. He's about 15 feet up in the air, and this guy comes charging across the street. And he's like, what are you doing, right? He didn't even ignore me completely, like I didn't even exist. And the fact is because he is from Israel, and he is brown, and that he got scared. So at that point, that was time to say, hey, guess what? You're being racist right now. You need to stop and think. I don't think he broke in to clean your windows. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to our next audience question, and this one will start with Chris Wigg. A plastic manufacturer wants to expand in West Eugene, but not be annexed to the city. What would you suggest Eugene do about this issue of annexation and industrial development?
So the question is referring to PacTech manufacturer in North Eugene. They make the handles for a lot of plastic containers, specifically the new style of on six packs of either soda or beer. The plastic six pack on the top is usually brightly colored instead of the kind of rings that will you have to cut up. That's the project that they make, and that I've had, you know, several of my clients have worked there in the past. I think that the city is actually on a pretty strong ground in terms of if you are going to expand, and that by requiring annexation, it allows the city to ensure that buildings meet city code and that the services that are being provided to those properties extend out. And so I do support the city's position in this instance. Thank you.
Thank you. Joshua Scove.
Yeah, I appreciate Chris sort of covering some of the background details of that. I'll pull back and just talk about it a little bit more generally, because the discussion around industrial lands has been really critical inside Envision Eugene, and a lot of my volunteer work on land use has been in the community resource group and the technical resource group, these two bodies convened over the last half dozen years on those issues. Let's face it, the community values are not to expand the UGB, are not to pave over farm and forest land, and we know that. But one place where, after a lot of discussion, we realized we needed small expansions to the UGB was to include industrial lands, because we didn't have sites that were big enough. And I think we ended up with pretty solid compromise on that in ways that would support jobs, but also not support sprawl for housing, and I think that balance is right. Quickly on annexation, I think we need to annex in a number of places over time for some of the reasons that you just heard, to ensure standards, but also to make sure that people get city services when they're outside of the core part of the city.
Thank you. Kelly Boyd.
We're going to grow whether we like it or not, so let's have a big plan along with the county to figure out where we're going to go. We've done a great job helping other cities up and down the West Coast through our graduates at U of O and Lane to build their tax base. Let's build Eugene's tax base. Let's work with the county. Avgo came in, one of the large multinational semiconductor manufacturers, you know, the plastic plant. There's a number that would like to come in, and let's ask them one of the requirements. Please, you must hire a certain percentage of your workforce to be U of O graduates and those that live in Eugene. Let's build our tax base by keeping jobs here in Eugene. And then with those kind of jobs, your tax base will be able to grow every year annually. And when that grows, projects continue to expand throughout the city. But when you have a flatline budget from year to year, things can't grow. You can't afford new projects and ways of helping the homeless, and et cetera. We have to be able to find a way to increase our tax base. This is a good opportunity. Let's figure out how to do this right.
Thank you. Chad Anderson.
So I think we learned a lesson about letting the city or companies use city resources and not paying from Hynix. That was a disaster. They basically got a free subsidy from eWeb that everybody paid for. The moment that subsidy ran out, they were out of town. I own a business. Paying taxes is a part of business. I use public resources a lot more than other people as a business owner, so it's my job to pay more than them. I mean, the fact is I have four vehicles that drive on the roads every day, so I'm putting four times the amount of wear on the roads as you guys. I should pay for that. You know, these are public services. If they want to use our water that we've cleaned, they want to use our electricity, you know, and our infrastructure, because eWeb and Eugene, they are related together. And we need to, you know, make them pay their fair share. You don't want to be giving millionaires subsidies. That's not okay. We need to focus on our working poor, not our 1%. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Semple.
I hate those plastic rings. I think this is a really bad business to support. It's just garbage in the landfill. Plastic is made out of fossil fuels. But they're here. We should be respectful and be happy for the jobs. I think annexation within the urban growth boundary is fine. Everybody who is using our infrastructure resources should contribute to them. I am 100% against expanding the urban growth boundary. We have incredibly valuable agricultural soils. As transportation costs go up, we may not be able to get our food from San Francisco. We can grow it here, but not if we put cement all over it. It could provide boutique farming, education.
Thank you. And we're going to start from the beginning. We'll start with Joshua Scove for this audience question. How do you feel about the city manager, city council form of government for Eugene.
Yeah, I have really appreciated the vibrant discussion we've had on this during the campaign and before. I guess I would pull back and just remind people, and I think, you know, at City Club, people are going to know this, and the listening audience as well. You know, what is the role of City Council? The role of City Council is to provide oversight and policy. And by policy, we really mean vision for the community. And it seems that we've lost track of some of the oversight function. As I've gone door-to-door in the ward, I've heard a lot of a lack of trust, really. And I will do everything I can to rebuild that trust. I think it's tempting to want to just change to a new form of government. The grass is always greener, you know, looking at other ways to organize the city. But at the end of the day, we're going to have similar functions. And we may need to reconsider that over time. I would be supportive if there's a real community conversation about changing our city charter. But it doesn't change the core functions of council. And we need to be ready to provide oversight. And that's really been woven into my community service over the last decade or more. So I'm ready for that challenge, whatever our form of government.
Thank you. Kelly Boyd.
Our vote must count. Your vote must count. If we have a city council that will vote in particular budget, but yet we have another side of government that can take it carte blanche and do whatever they wish, we have a great disconnect here from the people. That has to be different. I think the city hall is a great example of that. And that's a public one because it involves such large sums of money and our seat of government with that, represented in that building. Imagine how many of these have happened throughout the past 2 years that are smaller in scale and dollar amount that you and I never heard about. That someone took it and decided they were going to go that way with their project, and it never went through the focus and lens of what the voters want. But you never heard about it because it just wasn't large enough to be heard. Let's make some differences in this. It's time that those that you vote in are held accountable for what happens, because what they voted actually is what's happening. It's difficult when city councils ask this and somebody else is doing something else. Let's make your vote count.
Thank you. Chad Anderson.
Well, I don't know how many of you guys have been to the other debates, but I've said it multiple times. We need to change the entire system of our government. It started with the fences. I've gone to a few of those things that people have been freaking out about, the fences being built for $67,000. Which is overpriced anyway. As a contractor, I know that. The thing is they blame the city council, but the city council couldn't stop it if they wanted to. The fact is they could say, don't do this. And then, because the executive branch of the business, the one who executes the contracts, makes those decisions, is completely in an appointed position. I feel like that if you have an elected official being in charge of the executive part of the government, if we make you mad, you can fire us. Whereas right now, you can't. So we're losing our voice, and, you know, like Kelly said, all the small projects, all the things. We should change the system to where, you know, the city council, instead of being like a part-time position, is turned into a full-time position. Eugene is growing. We need to change with it. We have no choice. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Semple?
It's not working. The people are ignored. Envision Eugene is ignored. The manager has so much power. I think the council is there to listen to the people and guide the policies and the decisions that change our city for the better. But after those are put forth, what comes back often isn't the same thing. Staff and the manager are diverting the goals of council. I do think we need a strong mayor, a strong council with offices, an independent auditor, and the chance to actually make a difference without things being changed. The people cannot be ignored. We must bring them to council. I really believe we need to make things better. Thank you.
Thank you. And Chris Wigg.
I think a history lesson is important when we talk about the form and structure of our government. The weak mayor council form of government, weak mayor council manager form of government, was a progressive era best practice that was built to bust political machines. In the 1920s and 30s, Eugene had a political machine run by the Republicans that this form of government was created to bust. And so I think the case for charter reform is very compelling in terms of in the digital age, when people have a lot more access to information about how the city works, rebalancing that power between the elected officials and the appointed city staff. However, as the chair of the Democratic Party, I work on politics every day, and I'll tell you that we don't have the votes. We don't have the votes. What we do have the votes for, I believe, is an amendment to the charter that would create the position of independent performance auditor who can review and scrutinize contracts and expenditures and reports directly to the city council, not the city manager.
Thank you. This one we will start with Kelly Boyd, and it's a simple question, but we'll see what the answers are. Should the city sell Kesey Square?
Sell it? That's not simple.
That's what it says.
To sell Kesey Square?
Sell.
Oh. Or no! I think we all understand some of the history involved there, and we'd like to see that preserved. And I think most of us would like to see some upgrades, some enhancements, so it can be used in even greater ways for the public. It's great, kind of symbolizes in Eugene some of the First Amendment rights that we all share and enjoy. But I think we can expand it ways where not only that's still a part of the heritage of the park, but also others can be involved with it as well. So should we sell? No. And to whom would we sell it? So high-rise can go up? Probably not. We'd like to keep that part of Eugene. We know growth's coming. There's going to be big changes. But you know what? We want to keep Eugene as well, right? But I believe we can do both. Keep the flavor of Eugene, but also grow with the future.
Thank you. Chad Anderson?
Nope, let's not sell it. No one wants to do that. I think we should develop it as a city into a great public space where we can have events, venues, you know, food carts temporarily, so there's a lot of different tastes, you know, music, art galleries, stuff like that. Turn it into kind of like the Holt Center, but it's Kesey Square. We have Holt Center's amazing. Everyone's been there. It's a great time. Why not have two Holt Centers, but call it Kesey Square instead and have it be a different shape? It's square. Anyway. So I think we should, you know, develop it. I've gone on record multiple times. I'm, you know, so I can't flip-flop anyway if I wanted to. So I'm going to go ahead and say keep it, city plan to develop it, have some local contractors involved to develop those plans, and then we'll go from there. Thank you.
Emily Semple.
This is an example of the manager and the staff pull in a surprise. No, we shouldn't sell Kesey Square. I went to the presentation of the apartment and talked to Kaz Ovesi about it. I'm really excited about that design. I think it's really useful for another piece of land. Kesey Square is too small for that. It's also too important, being at the crossroads of the center of our city. I also talked to Ali Amani about his plans for years and years to open up the square, which would make it more inviting. The city's done everything they could to make it horrible. There's no tables, there's no chair, there's no greenery. It's a box. Of course people sit on the statue. It's also the very last place in our city where you can assemble in the middle of the night. My civil rights don't end at night, and neither do yours. We need a commons. I think City Hall is the perfect place.
Chris Wigg.
So, I believe that we must save Kesey Square. I've worked on this with the Democratic Party of Lane County, and my campaign, because of that work on Kesey Square, has earned the endorsement of former County Commissioner Jerry Rust, a very close friend of Ken Kesey, and Ken Kesey's own son, Zane Kesey. Both have endorsed my campaign because of my work on this issue. But I think it's also really important that we don't just stop at saving Kesey Square. When you look at the crime map of downtown Eugene, which we have on the Civilian Review Board, we see that that corner of Broadway and Willamette is the epicenter of street crime in Eugene. And it's not the unhoused folks who are committing those crimes. They're the victims. We're talking about assault, harassment, selling and using drugs. And I know as a counselor, the way that you replace antisocial activity, like criminal behavior, in a public space is you replace it with pro-social activity. The best thing I've ever seen at Kesey Square were the film screenings last summer by the Eugene Film Society.
Thank you. And Joshua Scove.
No, we shouldn't sell Kesey Square. Going door to door in the ward, I have been really overwhelmed with comments on Kesey Square, and it's very clear that the potential loss of the space really tapped into something important for people. And it is part of a bigger picture, let's face it. It's the loss of public space and public assets in so many ways, not just here in Eugene, but in our whole country, whether it's about natural resources or downtown urban space, or for that matter, intellectual property. We have lost these things over and over to the public domain and to the private domain, and we need to defend them, and I think that's what this has become a litmus test for. But at the same time, if we're going to have downtown public spaces, we need to make them work. The public safety issues are part of it, but this is also about making downtown livable and fostering housing there, and that will solve so many of the other problems that you've heard me talk about. That's why I've worked so hard in the context of Envision Eugene on tools that will foster housing in a variety of ways. We're going to solve these problems by having downtown be great and having more people there to enjoy it.
Thank you. It's now time for closing statements. Each candidate will have 1 minute for their closing statements. And I'm going to go in reverse order since you started with opening statements. So we'll start with Chris Wigg.
Thank you. Thank you to the League of Women Voters and all of the sponsors for putting this forum together. I really appreciate the chance to speak to all of you and all of you on the radio. Voters in Ward 1 are blessed to have 5 candidates who represent different parts of their values on this dais and on their ballot. So when you're doing the Pepsi Challenge, I would encourage you to look at the voters' pamphlet and look at who has endorsed whom and what values those represent. I've built during this election the Coalition of the Future that represents progressive values and advocates for renters and working families. My campaign has been endorsed by Labor Commissioner Brad Avakian, been endorsed by Senator Lee Beyer, Representative Phil Barnhart, and Lane County Commissioner and progressive icon Pete Sorensen. I've also been endorsed by national progressive groups like Democracy for America, labor organizations like SEIU, the AFL-CIO, the Eugene Firefighters, the Graduate Teaching Fellows, and every union who is endorsed in this race. And I'm the only candidate in this race who earned a green light from Basic Rights Oregon. Thank you.
Thank you. Emily Semple.
In addition to George Brown, I am also endorsed by current Councillor Betty Taylor and previous councillors Bonnie Bettman McCornack, Paul Nicholson, David Kelly. Also, former U.S. Congressman Jim Weaver, Michael Kerrigan, Lauren Reagan. The list goes on. I will bring fresh energy to council. I will work with business. I will work with labor. I will work with developers. But I work for the people. With compassion and outreach, I will listen. I will bring your voices to the table. With open communication, respect for our climate, we can do wonderful things. You will be heard. The choice is simple.
Thank you. Chad Anderson.
So I always start off with saying, vote for Chad. It'll be rad. You know, it's nice to have a name that rhymes with such awesome words. It's one of the many gifts my parents gave me. So I am new to politics. I have not done this. I think I'd be a fresh perspective. Check out the voters pamphlet. I've got a website, 2 websites, Chad, number4citycouncil.com, a Pennington homelessness. I think I can add a unique perspective. I feel like the working class is unrepresented, and that is what I'm from. It'd be nice to maybe have a fresh look, have someone who's been a contractor for 9 years to look at city contracts for building so they're not necessarily getting taken out to pasture. Someone who maybe understands how things go together so we don't have disasters like the plastic sidewalks downtown on 13th and Olive. I could have told them that ahead of time. I've worked with plastic. I've worked with concrete. I know it works. And that, obviously, I could tell them, told them ahead of time that wasn't going to work because plastic shrinks and grows and shrinks and grows with our bipolar weather here. So, vote for Chad. Thanks.
Thank you. Kelly Boyd.
Hey, my name rhymes with jelly and belly and a few other things. I don't know if that's going to earn your vote or not, but hey. And the future's before us. We can keep it Eugene, but we also can look to the future. Can we have our cake and eat it too? Perhaps so. I think all it's going to matter how we determine we're going to look at it for the future. There's growth coming. We can't stop it. Let's figure out how to do this the way we keep our values. We also grow for the future. It is before us. Let's choose wisely. There's a fork in the road, and we need to choose. You need to choose.
Thank you. Finally, Joshua Scove.
Again, thank you to everyone for being here. Thank you to the listening audience as well. Let's start with endorsements. And I want to focus on how local this is, because this is really about a local race, local issues, and for me, my local service. I'm the only person endorsed by Mayor Kitty Piercy, as well as Councilors Evans, Syrette, and Zelenka. I'm also the only candidate endorsed by the Sierra Club and Oregon League of Conservation Voters, and actually I'm the other candidate in the race who's been endorsed by the Equality Pack of Basic Rights Oregon. But just as much, I value the fact that 35 current and former members of city advisory bodies, the LTD Board, the E-Web Commission, Human Rights Commission, Planning Commission, and so on, have endorsed my campaign, and no other candidate can say that. And that really speaks to people's trust in my ability to represent the values of people in Ward 1, but also to get things done and to work in a deliberative setting, and that's the essence of council. I think I can bring those values, but also that practical nature and the ability to make Eugene a better place. I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our forum today with the candidates running for Eugene City Council Ward 1. This brought to you by the City Club of Eugene, the League of Women Voters, and KLCC. Please join me in thanking our candidates Joshua Scove, Kelly Boyd, Chad Anderson, Emily Semple, and Chris Wigg. You may applaud. Thank you for having me. I'm Angela Kellner, and we'll now turn it back over to James. Thank you.
Okay, and thanks again to our sponsors, the Wayne Moore Center for Law and Politics, KRVM 91.9 FM, and Network Charter School. Join the League of Women Voters. They have two programs on Tuesday, April 19th at Willamette High School. At 7 p.m., there's a candidate forum for the Oregon House District 14. And at 8 p.m., they have the Lane County Commissioners in District 4 in North Eugene. And join City Club here at the UO Academic Extension at downtown Baker Center next Friday, April 22nd, for a forum featuring candidates for Oregon House District 14. Additional information about these programs will be available on the City Club's website. Thanks a lot for your time, and this concludes the program.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you. Sorry about that.